The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was blazing already. There is a baptism I must still receive, and how great is my distress till it is over. Do you suppose that I have come here to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. The father divided against the son against father, mother against daughter against mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. 1976 was a vintage year. Southampton won the FA Cup, and I was born. Probably the first political event I just about remember would be the Falklands War. I was brought up a Catholic, but I have no idea what the Catholic Church was like in the 1950s or before the Second Vatican Council. It seems to me that there must have been something good about it, because the seminaries were full, on and off. There were six priests between these two parishes. There were six, if not more, masses in both places on a Sunday. I've only got the statistics for St. Peter's, because obviously the stuff for St. Columba's is here. But there were 32 baptisms in St. Peter's in 1955. In 2018, there were less than half that number. And I can't honestly say that I see that many of the children I've baptized at Mass on a Sunday. In 1955, there were 32 marriages in St. Peter's. In 2018, there were two. There must have been something good about the church of the 1950s. But at the same time, many Catholics of a certain generation tell me that the religion they were brought up with was one predominantly of rules and regulations, a religion in which feelings of guilt, shame, and inadequacy played major roles. So I imagine then, I suppose, that there was a change sometime in the late 60s and early 70s, and we de-emphasized the idea of a sort of legalistic God who was minutely scrutinizing us every time we infringed any of the rules. And we moved towards the idea of a God who loves us unconditionally. It is certainly true that in the Gospels, Jesus gives the scribes and Pharisees a hard time. And so perhaps the idea of a legalistic God is not overly helpful. But in setting aside that idea of God, it would be a mistake to settle for a sort of doe-eyed, flower power Jesus, who, because he loves us, will never challenge us. Jesus loves you, and everything's just going to be fine. If we do that, Jesus becomes a sort of spiritual comfort blanket. And how do we reconcile that insipid Jesus with the Jesus we hear speak in the Gospels today? I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were blazing already. This Jesus has got sharp edges. So does that mean that we have to give up on a Jesus who loves us and go back to the stern, finger-wagging, moralistic Jesus? I don't think it's as simple as that. Jesus does love us. But his love is not sappy, insipid, and unchallenging. Jesus loves us with a ferocity and intensity that will not tolerate our nonsense and excuses. Jesus absolutely loves us, but he will call us out when we are at it. Jesus loves us enough to tell us the truth, but he will also be there to pick up the pieces when the truth knocks us sideways. Let me give you an example. You know how fierce Jesus is about defending the holiness of marriage when he's asked about it by the scribes. Not but, actually, because that suggests a contradiction. And it is the same Jesus who refuses to condemn the woman caught in adultery, who bends down before her and dismisses the men who want to stone her. Or if you want to take a more contemporary example, had his public ministry taken place in 2019, the Lord would have been fearless and uncompromising in his defense of the unborn. But I also think he would have opened his arms and his heart to anyone weighed down by guilt over their involvement in an abortion. In fact, I don't just think that, I know it, because he did open his arms on the cross, and the centurion's lance opened his heart, and it remains open. Whatever else Jesus might be, he is not bland. He is as reckless in his mercy as he is in his willingness to speak the difficult truth. Accept no substitute for the Lord's fierce, reckless love for you, because only touched by that love will you be the person the Lord wishes you to be, and that this very broken world needs you to be.